Hello and welcome to All Systems Go. This is a weekly challenge podcast where we discuss the week in Go language news and also talk about a challenge that we completed in the Go language. Joining me this week, as always, Kofi. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Pretty excited. I know we were working through a few different challenges getting this started, but hopefully we've got most of those ironed out, but very excited.
This is episode one for those of you joining us thinking, you know, you're about to listen to a professionally produced podcast. This is new for all of us, but we're pretty excited to bring you, you know, the weekly Go news and talk about a challenge and hopefully bring you on a journey, the journey that we are going on around learning Go and participating in the community. And I don't know, what else should we say about the podcast as we get started, Kofi?
This has kind of been a little bit of a pet project of ours. I think we've all started coding when we were young. I think some of us also started and kept going when we were obviously through our career doing very different things. So, you know, the interesting thing, I was talking with one of my friends and I was like, you know, the best part about doing a podcast about something you're passionate about is actually not always relating it back to work and actually applying it to other things, right? So this is one of those pieces we've always talked about, building stuff and getting things going. We could have done it in any language, but this one, obviously, I think it has a lot of potential. I mean, documentation, as you know, is pretty scarce. We'll talk about that, but when it comes down to just getting involved and getting it going, I think it's going to be pretty cool, and hopefully we'll be able to expand, build a community, and really look towards driving a strong fan base.
Yeah, and Kofi and I are both like really focused on this idea of building a community and not just making this a platform for us to jabber away about the things that we've found, but really bring our audience and bring key folks in the Go community into the fold so that we can have some interesting conversations and hopefully, you know, build a whole community here where we can share code, talk about the news, talk about what we've learned, and all of those sorts of things. So it should be an exciting ride.
I think one of the neat things is like our skill level, right? Because I mean, we talk about this. I always say that, oh yeah, and you're way higher than I am. It's like, I haven't coded in forever. It's like, you know, but the interesting thing is and why this challenge is kind of interesting and why these challenges are interesting is because I think it sets us on that journey. We can probably see, I'd like to see where we are today in this episode one fashion and then what we look like after episode 100. Because technically that would be like 100 weeks of code if we keep this up, right? So it would be pretty neat if that's what we're going to be doing. And I think that's going to help us either A, grow obviously our love of Go, or B, it's just going to make us all around better programmers. So that's what I'm really excited for, actually. It's just something we can commit and keep doing.
Yeah, and hopefully we get to bring all of you who are listening with us. And that's the idea with the challenge. I mean, it's great to talk about the news, but I'm really excited about the challenge piece, and hopefully we bring you all with us and you know, show you what we've been up to, and we can kind of share that journey. So with that, why don't we jump into the news? We have a few articles here. Since it's episode one or episode zero, maybe, you know, there's a lot of news. We can't really encapsulate everything that's happened since Go kind of started. But there has been some recent news that I thought we could certainly talk about and then get into our challenge. One of the things that's sort of tangential to the Go community, you know, Docker, if you listen to one of the Go related podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis called Go Time, and episode 100, they actually talked to the founders of the Go programming language. And one of the things that they stated was a big propulsionary force for the Go programming language was really Docker coming out and saying, hey, yeah, we just rewrote everything in Go. That really shows people kind of art of the possible when a big company says, yeah, we rewrote everything in this new language. And so Kubernetes, you know, followed sometime after Docker. And also, you know, there seems to be, if I was to draw the Venn diagram of, you know, people who are very serious professional Go programmers and people who are involved in the Kubernetes community, there's a pretty significant overlap. So KubeCon is coming up, and I think that's kind of exciting. There's lots of interesting stuff happening. Are you going to KubeCon, Kofi?
I wish I was going to KubeCon.
It's no KubeCon for you.
I know we've had time to take a look at the lineup. It's very interesting this year with all the different vendor sponsors that are making their way into KubeCon, right? It's turning into one of those, I think, you know, much bigger events that we're kind of used to. So, and arguably, I think we're probably going to be see a bridge of different groups or different people in the organizations. Well, you know, it'll be a very interesting mix of people is what I'm thinking. I don't know about you, but I mean, when I look at industry today and how it's shifting, and knowing full well we're from Canada, we might be, you know, kind of fast followers in some senses. But I think one of the big things is that you see a lot of companies shifting their thought process from what traditional infrastructure and application development looks like, and really shifting their focus into, you know, what containers brings to them, what that future state looks like 5 years down the road in the US. And I'd love to get, you know, obviously somebody else's perspective, because obviously they built, you know, platforms themselves, you know, already in mainstream, but the same challenges they face from an adoption is the same stuff that, you know, companies like, you know, VMware and Microsoft and all these others faced a long time ago. But as you can see, when you think about, you know, running containers, running Kubernetes in your infrastructure, that's all changing. Like, it's becoming a little bit more mainstream, and they're going to start winning app by app, and you're going to see a lot of vendors aligned to it, right? So I think that's why you're seeing that broad mix of sponsors that's there. But you're seeing some of the typical big name players start to invest more and more money into these conferences.
Yeah, and there's, you know, from the Go programming perspective, there's a ton of community events. Again, very very focused on the projects that exist inside the CNCF, but they're all, you know, essentially the majority of the projects are Go related. So it's going to be a pretty big gathering of, you know, Go programmers there as well. The Envoy Con is happening, the Service Mesh Con, Calico. I mean, there's just a ton of different events there. So it's an interesting time to be involved in enterprise IT for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to say, like, it's going to be, I hope it's going to be something that we're going to be able to attend much more frequently in the future. I think it's a great way to get there. I think, don't get me wrong, last year, did you not participate?
I did not last year. No. I wanted to, but did not get the chance. I think, I don't know, to me, I'm not going to say OpenStack. Okay, I said OpenStack. it's starting to feel a little bit like, no, I shouldn't. That's not fair. It's starting to feel like other summits, other cons that have been built around platforms that have a lot of excitement. I think what's going to be interesting is to see how different or not Kubernetes is. Like, it certainly feels like Kubernetes is woven into the fabric of the story of the next version of IT, but in a way that OpenStack never was. But it's starting to get that, you know, there's a lot of sponsors. There's a lot going on at KubeCon.
Yeah.
I know a lot of folks that are going that are not Go developers, that are not Kubernetes contributors. And I just, it's feeling pretty commercial, and that could be good. It could be bad. Who knows? Right. But,
yeah.
So if you're going, have a load of fun. There's a lot going on. Actually, if you have registered and you're planning to go, if you haven't looked at the agenda yet, you definitely want to dive into the agenda and see what's going on, because there is a ton. And all of these projects are always looking for folks to help, to contribute. Everyone right now is looking for, you know, beginner, intermediate, expert help, whether you can spruce up some documentation or you can actually, you know, make some fundamental changes to the project. They all need help. That's the story of open source, right? So if you're starting down this path and working with Go, you know, jump in and a couple of years down the road, you start out contributing to documentation, and then a couple of years you're a core committer. And so,
yeah, and I think, and arguably that's one of the things we want to do, right? So I think I want to say that it's super important for us to think about this. I mean, as we think about how we want to mature and grow, either both ourselves personally, the community, how can we help? And maybe this is one of the pieces as we think about what challenges to do in the future. Is like, you know, I had taken a boot camp on one of the platforms that we have at work. And one of the big things the guy was saying was, you know, sometimes it's just about getting involved. To your point, some of the pieces on documentation or validation or what have you are big. But how you build your brand by, you know, getting those certain number of commits is really important. So maybe as a challenge is to get and partner or get, you know, get into something and then help start out somewhere, which is just get contributing. So think about that as one of the challenges in the future. That's definitely going to be in there. And then arguably, once we build our community, hopefully we can get some commit numbers that are astonishing. I mean, that's to me one of the biggest goals is like, how can you say, okay, we got the All Things Go community and we've basically done 10,000 commits this year. That would be like a huge milestone.
Should we talk about, I know that we've both gone through a bunch of, a couple of different tutorial things and working sessions. Yep. Do you want to talk about the O'Reilly stuff that you've been working
on? Yeah, I mean, I am just getting started. I think there's two things. I mean, obviously I've done certain things on LinkedIn and done LinkedIn Learning. I've done stuff on O'Reilly just to get started. I mean, a lot of it is just getting through the basics. But honestly, like, maybe it's my attention span. I don't really know what it is. So, but, like, I'm one of those people who's like, okay, I think I get the basics. The concepts are pretty much the same. I think I need to just dive a little bit deeper. Rather than starting in the beginning, you start in the middle, right? Because if you start at the beginning, you're like, ah, this is, you know. So what I think the important thing is like, I'm going to start more in the middle now with more advanced topics and then figure out how to code it because I know how to code the basics. It's just you can go find and snip those things anywhere. So
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think I actually, and it's only because a couple of days ago, I watched this talk from one of the GoCons and I'll link it up in the show notes. I forget who it was by, so I'll make sure that that's linked up and attributed properly. But the person that was presenting basically said, hey, look, if you're a developer coming from another language, what you generally look for when you're trying to learn a new language is syntax. Like, what are the syntactical changes that are required to get me into this language? Whereas, so, you know, you come from JavaScript, you're going to write something in Go and you go, ah, how do errors work here? How do I make HTTP requests? I'm looking for the syntax. What's a loop look like? How do I control the loops? Blah, blah, blah. But if you're a beginner, what you need is something that is more maybe architectural in nature. Like, what is an error in this platform? What is an interface and why is this thing called an interface in Go? Like, what I use to actually make HTTP requests and, you know, wrap a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean? And I think part of what I certainly saw, and I think what you're saying is that, like a lot of the training material you see generally focuses on that syntax piece.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to get purchase on just syntax when you need to understand some of the concepts and I don't seem to get a handle on those concepts until you actually kind of build something, you know, am I on the right track?
You need to skip to like number, like section 20, right?
Yeah.
Like you skim over the first little bit, and then you focus on certain areas because the whole thing is like, if you understand the concepts of object oriented programming, it's not going to be, you know, who cares? to your point, if you understand, you know, certain idiosyncrasies with how code is laid out, then yeah. But ultimately, most of those foundations are pretty much the same. So I think where I think I would be benefiting more from is actually like, and I'm gonna have to look for it, but like, it will have to be like intermediate level. Here's what we're doing. I assume that you know the basics of any programming language, but I'm gonna show you. We have X amount of packages. We're gonna do this thing. We're gonna create these functions. We're gonna run them, using X or using a specific function of Go that you've never seen before, but I'm going to tell you what that does because you're going to commonly use this. Like, that's what I want to see. Where, to your point,
Right.
I think what's happened is as I go through, like, okay, getting a tour of Go, that's fine, but like, how are you going to enhance or entice somebody new to the language unless they're forcing themselves to go do that? So
Right.
I think that when I want to go look at something now and what I'm looking for in learning, it's kind of that intermediate piece where it's like working with REST APIs or working with anything to make certain actions happen. And this is kind of my day-to-day stuff, which is what I'm trying to do. So it's either day-to-day or I have something in mind or I'm trying to build an app or I'm trying to see where I would use Go for the
Yeah.
style that I want. You know what I mean? So I
Totally.
think that's I guess that's where I'm lost. But at the same time, don't get me wrong, I don't want to detract from the fact that I did take an O'Reilly course and that I loosely paid attention to, because as you know, sometimes you subscribe yourself to these live learnings and then work gets in the way. And it did in this case because there's always this huge fire. But one of the neat things is that we are what I noticed in this piece is that there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do. It walks through a lot of the stuff that we talked about, like, oh, you know what, we're going through a build process and we're troubleshooting all these errors. How are you doing this? Like, you have pre-built code that you can actually walk through and understand what the structure looks like. And then it got into like, okay, and like, how do I drive automation and build pipelines around this? It's actually some combination of that's what I really wanted. So it's like expanding the environment that I have today. So that's kind of what I wanted to take out of it. And then I'll go redo it again when I have either built or tuned my environment the way that I wanted it, like an effective debugger. If I want to basically put in Jenkins or something like that, and really kind of work through what that looks like in my developer laptop or whatever, any laptop for that matter, or virtual machine, however the hell I want to run this stuff. So I thought it was very, very informative because it gave me a good perspective as it was more of an intermediate session that I was looking for. I think it was a more of, I've got all these code samples done. Just go on GitHub, grab what you want, take a learning. These are all the different sections. I love the structure of it because you get to work and they give you time. He explains something, then you go and then you basically have time to work on it. You go back and then you do the other stuff. Which is pretty awesome. And then, there's Slack channels and all these other pieces that they start introducing now that you can be part of. So, I think for these live sessions that O'Reilly's putting out has hit the mark. Like, I love them. I think they're put on by very knowledgeable people. The structure is really well put together. I have another couple coming up that are specific. So it's funny that you talked about Istio the other day, because I mean, this is basically OpenShift Istio and, like it's like basically introduction to service mesh. So something that I don't know much about that I'm very interested in. So it's kind of one of those pieces. But like, these are very cool things. And
For
then
sure.
I think you talked to me before about there's another site that I got to check out, and it's a paid site. It was like $129 or something. And it was I think it was more in line with what I was looking for beforehand from a goal tutorial perspective. I just it escapes me. Do you remember?
There's so much out there, but yeah, so that's what I was gonna kind of that's what I was gonna say about courses. The one that I took and I'm still reviewing on a regular basis. It's called Ultimate Go Programming by Bill Kennedy. Actually, it says William Kennedy here, but I'm pretty sure he goes by Bill. Pretty prolific Twitter content creator as well. But his session called Ultimate Go Programming, it's on Live Lessons. It's also, if you're a subscriber to Safari, you can get access to it. But it is it was great for really starting to understand the concepts, and particularly like thinking about how Go works, like not just the syntactical pieces of like, here's how to create a loop, or here's how you create a struct, but also thinking about when you build an application, if you're going to think in terms of semantics, if you're going to pass pointers around, then, you know, stick to passing pointers around. If you want to use value semantics and pass actual values and copies of values around, of variables around, then do that. And really, he talks through a lot of the consequences of mixing those metaphor or mixing those ways of programming and what that cost is to the actual application and potentially the heap and allocations and et cetera.
Yep.
It's a really great course just to get through like at a much deeper level than I ever expected, how Go the compiler thinks about things and the impact of your code on the actual running application, which is, you know, a little bit different from a lot of other tutorials that I've done.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I think, and it brings me back to some of the earlier C programming that I was doing, is as I was looking at, you know, different things from a concurrency perspective, I pulled up what you were talking about. I was already on O'Reilly, and I went to the Ultimate Go Programming 2nd Edition. I didn't realize it was over 16 hours of code. 16 hours of video that's already
it's a
there.
Long course.
I'm like, wow. So then I scrolled ahead and I went up, and I think there's some stuff that we talked about, right? So starting in like lesson 9 and 10, which is basically when you talk, well, probably lesson 8 and above, but where you talked about some of the neat things is you talked about like design guidelines in error handling and a few other different things. But 7, packaging, design guidelines, package orientation and design, like, right there. It's not very long, but it gives you an idea of where things start, and you're like, okay, now I can start putting things together, and then let's figure out like everything else after that. You know, you know, when you talk about different things from channels and concurrency, like that's where I want to get into. But what I like is he's also talking about testing, so stuff that we sometimes forget about, and then how we're you know, working through. So I'm actually pretty excited. I'm gonna go do this. And I'm gonna give you some continuous feedback on where things are, but nice. I think what's gonna happen is I'm gonna switch off how I'm learning the other one and go from the video piece, even though I know kind of where things are. I'm gonna kind of put your knowledge to the test and see that piece. But is there not other ones that other people have put together?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff out there. I think the way that the community works today is really interesting. If you just go to YouTube and you Google for GoCon, there's a ton of GoCons that have happened around the world, and there's a boatload of great information about a lot of different things. And there are some classics on YouTube talking about Go concurrency, so Rob Pike's stuff, which are pretty classic. There's a lot of talk about Go concurrency, certainly. And then when it comes to tutorials and books, there's a ton of great stuff too. I highly recommend the Go Awesome page on GitHub. We'll link that up in the show notes.
Yep.
Go Awesome has, you know, all the libraries and modules that you might need.
Yep.
And then also
Go by Example. Have you seen that one? Cause that's a pretty good one as well.
Go by Example is great.
Yep.
There's also, so related to that Ultimate Go Programming course, GitHub user Hoan On, and he's Hoan On 101. We'll link this up in the show notes, has an Ultimate Go Pro, study guide. So they have put links in here to a bunch of different things, and then, basically follows the modules that Bill Kennedy put out, and then has links to like, or has actually written out a bunch of these concepts and links to articles about the concepts in each one of the modules. It's pretty fantastic too. So
yep.
Another couple of great resources. So let's talk about the challenge. So the challenge that we talked about this week for the starting, when we thought it was appropriate for the starting episode, was set up your developer environment. So get Go, get the compiler, the GoFumped, everything installed, get an IDE installed, and actually, you know, start building things. So how did your development setup work. I guess, what platform did you decide to install on, and how did it go?
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, I did a couple of different things. I originally started off in Linux with Mint, and because I was jealous of you, to be honest. So I started there and then quickly realized I don't really want to run on a virtual machine all the time. But I could have formatted one of my laptops if I felt like it. I was just testing it out to see how easy it is, but it's pretty cool. And then I'm going to pretty much work on automating that whole setup. But, I'm a huge Atom fan, so I use Atom for pretty much everything. So, and then I like the integrations, cause I have, basically, it's easy to integrate with Git, so it's really easy on that stuff from versioning piece, because that's something that I feel that I always have to start doing versus before, where we never, you know, we never really focused on stuff like that. But now it's almost imperative, and it doesn't matter what and who you're working with. But that's one of the key pieces that I look in it. I like, because I use it for Python. I just like the way that things are built. But I mean, when you look at it, formatting, all these other things, the packages that are there, they're amazing that you can basically pull down. So typically when you do that, you can basically pull it down, all the dependencies pull down. It's really simple. You know, you basically just label your code in whatever.go, and it basically takes over, does everything, builds your project for you. And it's pretty amazing. And then from a community perspective, they have huge amount of support. You can build your debuggers in there if you need to. That's kind of one of the last things that I want to do. You can build out the terminal if you just want to kind of execute code and then run it within a terminal. That's pretty easy to do as well. And then I wanted to, and so I got two. So this is kind of where I was talking to you a little bit beforehand, on, you know, VS Code, and that seems to be what other people are using as they do it, but I still don't use it.
There's a lot of VS Code users out there.
Yeah. So I'm tempted to just try and see. But I think I was able to get through everything that I needed to do and wanted to do in Atom. And I just want to see how far I can take that. So that is my goal, is to stick with just loading the local runtime on my environment. That's pretty simple and standard. For me, on all my laptops, I use the GitHub desktop, so it's pretty straightforward on that side. And then I use Atom, and that's it. And then I think my next steps is to basically start, just seeing what else I can tie into it. I mean, then maybe I'll get some ideas from you, as you set up your development environment, how I can expand and make mine better.
How do you, so you're on Windows.
Yep.
How did you decide to, or how did you actually install Go itself? Did you grab the package from the website?
Yeah, package installer. Boop. Okay. Just
super easy, right?
Execute. There it is. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward.
Windows is like,
it's too easy.
It felt like for a while, Windows was kind of a dirty word. Yeah. And you know, Macs, if you look at all the technical conferences, I mean, there are Macs everywhere.
Yep.
And I'll talk about my Mac setup in a second, but like I spend enough time in Windows these days.
Yep.
Windows is pretty freaking awesome now. Like we can't dismiss it as like, oh, well, you know, only corporate nerds use it. Like WSL is now, like, especially with WSL 2, like it is snappy. It is fast. You can get a Linux environment if you need it in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Everything you need is like there. PowerShell is freaking awesome. It's a great platform.
Yeah. I'm not really like, again, I don't know whether it's, I don't think I have if I want the least path of resistance or the easiest way to do something, I just use Windows. It's not you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's, I love my Mac. Don't get me wrong. people may hate me for saying the W word, but I don't care, because I use my Mac for pretty much everything day to day that I do, and I don't really care whether I flip between operating systems. I'm used to all of them, so and I don't really have a preference. So
So I have Go installed on my Linux laptop, but I'll walk through how I set up the Mac. So I'm running Catalina here, which my IT team didn't really like. But anyway, I have Catalina installed. And the first thing I tried to do was actually install the package direct from the site. And because Apple, in their infinite wisdom, has actually really narrowed down how you can install applications. And the current version, or at least the version I tried to install originally, wasn't notarized by Apple. The install failed. So I couldn't actually even install Go. So this was a fresh install. So what I did instead was I used Brew. And Brew worked without a problem, I guess because I updated Brew directly after I installed Catalina. Uh-huh. So to install Go, the actual programming language, it was a Brew install Go, and that did the job. So Go got installed that way, and then I am a real fan of IntelliJ IDEA and their whole philosophy and their way of handling IDEs. So I installed Goland, and there's a few reasons why I like Goland. I spend a little bit of time in VS Code, and sometimes even in VI and Emacs. But Goland just has a lot of niceties to it. The very first project that I actually worked on with Go was heavy in, well, I was talking to I had to pull information out of a SOAP API, and it was nastiness. And so I had to build a lot of types just specifically for the communication back and forth to a SOAP API. Mm-hmm. And Goland just had a lot of niceties about it when I had to define functions that were actually taking various types back and forth. It just pops a bunch of information for you. So it'll actually show you like fields and the structs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That just made it a lot easier. And so there's a lot of great editors out there and a lot of great IDEs. Goland is just what I decided to use for now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I think, maybe, yeah. I mean, like what else, like how often do you find yourself, making modifications to your environment, I guess is a question, or is it just one of those things that's a constant modification piece? Like as we were talking, I was looking at what new packages I could install. So it's like one of those pieces, but it also takes time as you want to think about like, you know, how much do I really want to, you know, invest into some of those areas? I mean, I think that, I don't really think I think it's one of those pieces that you're going to get used to what you're using. You may go somewhere else if somewhere, you know, some other people are using that ID, but ideally I think you use what you're used to and you want to, what you want to use, right?
I think it's interesting for us and for folks like us that aren't, you know, full-time professional developers, where it's like, well, maybe I should just speak for myself. I know I find myself doing a lot of yak shaving a lot of the time, right? Where it's like, hey, I should build something in Go. Oh, well, first I better go and actually install the language. Okay, I'm going to use Brew and, oh, the terminal. Man, I should really update iTerm too. Okay, that's updated. And I don't really like the fonts. I should actually, okay, now the fonts are updated. Okay, so now I got Go installed. Now what IDE should I use? Oh gosh, there's a lot. Well, let's install Atom. I'll check that out. Oh, that's not bad. And maybe Goland. And oh wait, there's some add-ons for Goland. And oh yeah, I forgot. I like PyCharm too. Let me install. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so you end up in this long-running circle. And I think you are way better at this than I am, which is like pick a tool, stick with it and do it and just and do something, right? As opposed to keep going around in circles and looking at things.
You waste a lot of time.
And what about that? Oh, a ton of time.
I'm just like, nah, I'm pretty.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? It's like our full-time job isn't development.
No.
For a lot of us.
Yeah.
Hopefully there will be folks that join and listen to this program and enjoy it that are full-time developers. But there's a lot of us that are just getting back into development, trying to do it regularly. And I think it's important to like just pick a tool and then do stuff as opposed to, you know, the infinite yak shaving of, hey, well maybe is there an IDE that I can use on my iPad? Because I'm using the latest beta of iOS and I think I can actually get a mouse working there.
Right.
And, oh, well this IDE doesn't work. Well, maybe if I set up like a VM in EC2, and then I SSH to it. Oh, I need a new SSH program for my... Anyway, I've been down so many rat holes, I could go on forever, but you know what I mean?
Well, I agree.
All right.
Cool. Well, I mean, we should probably just talk about what do we want to do from a challenge on the... for the next episode.
What do we want to do for a challenge next time?
I don't know, but I should have really put a little bit more thought into this. Maybe, you know, I was looking at, I thought we were going to do this and then talk a little bit more about our piece. But I think what's happened is maybe what we do is we kind of review. I mean, we've talked a little bit about like more advanced tutorial sites. So I think I want to get like hands on for the next week, every day, very specific. And then see if a basic program or basic something very very simple, or I don't know, I just think that we just put this to the test and then put everything together, so maybe it's put together the structure of a project that we want to basically run, or maybe we figure out different ways that we want to collaborate. What do you think is better? Like maybe just let's collaborate together. We already know we can use GitHub to do that, but at the same time, I guess I haven't worked with them. I usually code by myself, so.
Yeah, that's an interesting piece. We're actually going through something at work right now where we're building something kind of extracurricular, and there's a team of us, and the code base really belongs to one individual, and we're all trying to get in, and we're all hackers. Like I don't mean hackers as in like black hat, like trying to destroy the world. Not that all hackers are like that. Gosh, I'm going to get myself into trouble. We're trying to collaborate is a whole thing.
Yeah.
My suggestion, let me know what you think. What if for next week we just say, find a great tutorial and finish it?
Done. I think that's a great way to do it. Like, not you wait 16 hours of tutorial, or are we talking like
well, I guess it depends on the tutorial that you finish. So all I right. have in my mind so you mentioned before that like we tend to pick up these tutorials and you start them but then you never finish
them.
I actually have I have a tutorial that I started a while ago that is all about building a web application in Go.
Okay.
That I have just never finished. And I think
let's do it.
So I would love to finish that. And I like, okay, that would be a great one to talk about. And then, whatever you want to choose, we might have a guest on next week too. And maybe they can pick a tutorial and we can all talk about the different tutorials that we've worked on. And then now we have something that we can share with the community, and this is a great tutorial and here's how it worked out.
There you go. Let's just do that. We can review some tutorials. I will pick one of three. I'll share the ones with you, and then we can either stack rank them if I get through more than one, but let's be very ambitious here and just make sure that we're focused, laser focused, and get through the one. So I will keep mine a secret, but I'm going to post like one of three. And then I'm going to go from there. And then I'm going to talk about like first how it's helped me. And this is kind of the key thing, I think. First, how it's helped me have a better understanding and interpretation of the language.
Right.
Two, how I can look to apply what I've learned in more of a day-to-day fashion. And three, it sparked my creative juices to say, hey, here's what I think I can build. Which should segue into, where I want to go kind of in that next segment, which is like, where do I want to apply this? And I want to do something very simple, but I want to do something I've never done before.
I dig it. Sounds great. Okay. Well, with that, let's wrap it up. And gosh, we've never talked about, like, do we need catchphrases? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like, do we just shut it off?
I don't know. We'll figure that out. But I mean, arguably, we could always go. There you go. Yeah,
let's go.
No, I appreciate it. No, it's good. Let's wrap it up. Until next week or next session, next episode, check back with us because we're going to get through this. So we'll track our progress, let you know where we fell down, where we lost interest, and all the things about how these tutorials went through. See you next time.